All right. This is the Rebel Room right here on LasVegasSun.com. Ray Brewer along with Mike Grimala talking all things UNLV. And this is an exciting time of the year, as it is every October, because the basketball Rebels, the running Rebels, are on the court getting ready for the season. And Mike, there's a lot of excitement right now. Kevin Kruger's got some Jimmies and Joes over there that could play. You were at the first practice, and I think you texted me one word that got me all fired up and happy, and that word was athletic. Are we going to see a more athletic, high-rising, slam-dunking, three-point shooting version of the team?
There's no doubt at all. 1,000% confidence this team is more athletic than last year's team. It's not even a question. You only have to watch 1 minute of practice to see someone perform an athletic feat that last year's team was simply not capable of doing, whether it's a dunk or a full court sprint or just, you know, you just watch this team. They're bigger, they're faster, they're quicker, more agile. They can get off the floor. At the end of practice, you saw a couple guys having like a little impromptu dunk contest. They were both getting way above the rim, which really last year's team, not a lot of guys, you know, they were playing some guys who just flat out couldn't dunk, like guys who were too short, can't really jump. So it's weird to see a UNLV team last year where a lot of it was just so below the rim. This year, I don't know if it translates to, you know, better. Just being more athletic doesn't mean you're better, but this team is definitely more athletic. You're going to see more of that style of basketball. I think that's what Kevin Kruger wants to do. So it was pretty obvious on day one. That was the most important takeaway, or the most obvious one.
Okay, well, let me be a fan for a quick second. Everybody knows I'm a UNLV grad. I was an eighth grader during the championship season. Is this a team that could get to the tournament? Because obviously UNLV hasn't been, what, 7 or 8 seasons. Is this a team that could compete for the Mountain West?
It's hard to say.
Don't say no, Michael. Be honest and say yes.
They have so many guys that are transfers that have never played, you know, big minutes in college. Like guys that are going to play big roles here that were, you know, bench warmers at other schools. So we don't know what they're going to be. They could be good. They could be not good. I think they'll be better than last year. But they'd have to be way better than last year to make a run at the NCAA tournament. I don't think that's in the cards this year. That's asking a lot of Kevin Kruger to do that on the fly. I think you probably want to set that expectation for year two and year three. But if you can, you know, if you want to have that miracle season, they've got that non-conference schedule where they've got a few, they'll have a couple top five teams coming to Las Vegas. If you want to make some noise early in the year and then you want to announce yourselves that, like, hey, we're way better than everyone expected, they'll have a chance to do that. I don't think it's going to be a tournament season just because I don't think we've seen enough of these players to – I think anyone who's predicting 25 wins out of this team is just sort of doing it just purely on blind optimism, because there's no way you can do that based on what you know about the roster. It's just not possible to do that. But I do think that they will be better than last year.
Okay, so a lot of the players, Mike, are transfers. I think it's 10 total transfers who were at other programs. I believe 8 of those 10 were at Power 5 conferences, which means they've been on a bigger stage night in and night out, even if it was in a reserve role. How do you think that experience or the big game experience, you know, there's something about being on Big Monday at 6 o'clock on ESPN that the roster previously doesn't have. I don't know if that translates to 2 wins, to 5 wins, to 10 wins, to a trip to Jostens to get championship rings, but it's got to make them better, right?
I think that's what I think if you look at in totality, it's hard to, I'm riding the fence because it's a lot of these transfers. They went to Power 5 schools. But if you're asking a guy like Royce Hamm, a guy like Victor Uwakor, these are guys who I think are going to, in my last roster prediction, I had them as the starting 4 and 5 this year. And yes, they've played for a combined, you know, 5 years at Texas and Oklahoma, you know, Big 12 schools. but they played almost no minutes. Like, these are guys who were part-time players, role players to the extreme. Like, you know, these are guys who are just minutes a game. And really, so it's a guy who averaged 2 points and two rebounds a game for a 3-year career. So yeah, they were at the Big 12, but how much it's really, I don't know how that's going to translate to the Mountain West. We've seen, look at a guy like David Jenkins, who admittedly came from a smaller conference 2 years ago and really, really struggled adapting to the Mountain West. So I don't think you can just pluck any old player who gets a scholarship to a Big 12 team and throw them in the Mountain West and expect them to be just become an excellent player.
So you're talking more of Cody Doolin, David Jenkins than what UNR's done with its transfers. Because the way I'm looking at the roster, and I don't know if I'm wrong or right, Michael, but, you know, I think this is a team that if everything clicks, they may be able to step up to the plate and beat some Listen, football hasn't won a game since 2019. Now, granted, it was a great ending to the Cannon game. Give us something to be optimistic about here. Who's the best player in the Mountain West?
You want me to rave? Mike Nuga, who is one guy who has played extensively, who has played at a big role at college basketball. He's one of these transfers. The not so great news is he is coming from a smaller conference and he is coming off a severe knee injury. The great news is that he looked unbelievable in the first practice. They had an open practice and were able to watch the whole thing. And whether it was drills, whether it was 5-on-5, whether it was, you know, any kind of live action, he said after the practice, you know, they're taking it slow with me. We're working our way back from the injury. But if you didn't tell me, I would have no idea that he was coming back from any kind of health issues, because he was dominant. He was flying around. He was dunking. He was stealing balls, going the other way for dunks. He's making shots. He's taking guys off the dribble. He looked unbelievable. So if he can play in games like he did in the first practice of the year, then boom, like that's great. Him and Bryce Hamilton, you are set on the wings. That's going to be an awesome duo. So that's one thing I am super high on, Mike Nuga, Bryce Hamilton. I think you can, if you get Bryce Hamilton to bounce back to how he played 2 years ago, you know, his sophomore year when he had his breakout year, if you get that Bryce Hamilton and you get the Mike Nuga from day one of practice, that's, you know, you can compete against anyone in the Mountain West probably. So
what about Justin Webster, Michael?
He can shoot, man. He was the first thing they did in practice, the very first drill that they ran, you know, after stretching and everything, they separated the team into, I think, 3 or 4 different groups. You know, it's four men to a group. And they went on different courts and they put 5 minutes on the clock and they were all just shooting 3-pointers to see, you know, which group would win, sort of a competition. And I don't think Webster missed in those 5 minutes. His shot was locked in. I think if you've got him coming off the bench as like your sixth man, as like your first guy in the backcourt rotation who comes in, stretch the floor, he is going to make a lot of 3-pointers. He looked very, very locked in. Maybe he gives you what you thought David Jenkins was going to bring last year, which is a guy who can stretch the floor and sort of create a little bit off the bounce. Another guy that I thought was very impressive on day one. See, now you're getting me, you're asking the right questions that I can be optimistic about.
I'm trying Nuga to.
Was great. Webster.
Give us just briefly starting five.
Okay, I told you Royce Hamm, Texas transfer. I like him at center to start for this team. Just a solid defender, a guy who's going to do his job rebounding. He's sort of detail-oriented. I think that the coaching staff will prioritize that. Iwakor at power forward, just that versatile big man who can move around. Then you get shooting guard and small forward. Like I said, I think Nuga and Hamilton, that duo is your wing duo. And I think the other spot that's sort of up for grabs is point guard. The question is, do you want to play Justin Webster there and get, you know, another good offensive player on the floor, but he's not a true point guard. And we saw last year what happens when you try to play long stretches without a true point guard, and it was bad. Like they couldn't really generate offense. Now, I don't know. Maybe Kruger has a different idea. Maybe he thinks he can pull it off, but I think they want a guy who can handle the ball and run their offense at point guard. So I think Jordan McCabe, who's a transfer from West Virginia, I think he's the guy who gets that first shot at being the one, and they sort of let him run the offense, be a pass first guy. And I think that's your starting five.
All right. All right. Well,
what do you think? Does that sound like a Mountain West contender to you?
I mean, I think that now I've been extremely positive as we've been here on the Rebel Room, but you know, we've got 10 people from 10 different programs all converging on the same team. And I don't care how many barbecues or social outings you have, how's the chemistry going to be on the court? So I think for me, at least, that's one thing on the radar. The other is, how do you keep all these players happy? There's a lot of mouths to feed there. I mean, usually on a team, there's a clear cut, maybe 1 through 8, the guys that are 9 and 10, and then, you know, the Trey Herberts that are waving towels. I think UNLV's got 10 Jimmies and Joes that think they're Jimmy and Joe.
So how that's one of the things about bringing in so many transfers, is that guys don't usually transfer because they want to sit on the bench at their new school. They usually transfer because they're looking for playing time. It's like, I'm going to transfer here because I'm going to get an opportunity to play a lot. So if you've got 9 guys coming in thinking that, like, I'm coming in to play a big role, obviously that's not going to work, because you're not going to play 9 guys 30 minutes a night. So that's something the coaches are going to have to deal with. Like, they've got, there are some guys who are expecting to play more who are going to be disappointed with their minutes, with their role, with the amount of shots they get. And that's really, you're looking at a first year head coach, Kevin Kruger, who's got to navigate that. He's going to have to figure out, communicate with his players, like, why they're not playing as much. He's got to prepare them so they're not blindsided when they don't get into a game and they get a DNP. That's stuff we don't know about Kevin Kruger, because we've never seen him do that before. So, and that is a valid question. That's something I would wonder going into the year, is, you know, that chemistry issue, because you're just throwing a bunch of guys in the pot together, and sure, it's going to have to work its way. It's going to have to work itself out as you go along.
Okay. And then, just not to be Debbie Downer here, not to play Mike Grimala to everybody, but
I'll spin it. I'll spin it positively.
Kevin Kruger, we love. He's been, he's a Rebel. He's one of us. He was the guy driving the Cadillac on the Sweet 16 team. He beat Wisconsin, you know, Lon's son. Everybody loves Lonnie. But obviously, Lon Kruger, when he came here, was extremely experienced. He'd been to Final Fours. Kevin Kruger does not have that experience. He's a 30-something-year-old head coach. Is there going to be a curve for him in terms of the X and the O's of the job? When it comes down to the final 2 minutes of the game, will there be, you know, is he going to need a game to get, is he going to get out coached?
In just the pure X's and O's of the game, after TJ Otzelberger left, right after it was announced that he was leaving, I talked to some of the players who were on the roster, about, it was right after Kevin Kruger got hired. And it was, I asked some of the players, you know, off the record, they were talking, you know, what do you think of Kevin Kruger? What was his role on the staff? Is he going to be good in this as a head coach? And they said, X's and O's wise, like, he's the man. Like, everything he draws up is good. It makes sense to them. He can communicate it and coach it. They understand his offensive concepts. So I think from that sense, offensively at least, he got a big, you know, vote of confidence from the guys who played under him the last couple of years. So I'm not really worried about X's and O's. I think you'll see cohesiveness on the floor in terms of what they're trying to run. And I think it's going to be the other stuff, like we mentioned, managing playing time, managing the players' expectations for their roles, managing the expectations from the outside, because we know every year, no matter what team you throw out on the floor, UNLV fans are going to talk themselves into and get excited about, we're going to win the Mountain West, going to the NCAA tournament. I'm sure Marvin Menzies' first year, when they basically fielded a prep school team, there was, I'm sure there were at least some UNLV fans.
That was the one year where I was just like, okay, do you remember the Duke game at T-Mobile?
Yes. I remember. I was there. It was, Zion Morgan trying to cover Jason Tatum, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a mismatch. I bet even that year before the season started, there were some fans who were saying, well, you know, maybe if things go right, this could be a tournament team. So it's like the expectations are so high always for this team that's something that Kruger is going to have to deal with. I think that stuff is more, I worry about that more than I would worry about, can he draw up plays? Is his playbook going to be good? Can they scout opponents? Like that stuff, I think they'll be fine. It's the other stuff that he's going to have to learn on the job because there's no other way to learn that.
The thing I like about Kevin is the fact that there's some legitimate excitement around the team that we haven't seen in a while, right?
Yes.
Zero excitement with TJ. Maybe
I wouldn't say that. I think people weren't when he was – I think you had some people excited for that style that he promised, like that super offense. We're going to be – he's top five in offensive efficiency, super high scoring team at South Dakota. I think there were some excitement about that, but it got worn away when he got here and they didn't really play like that. But at first there was, I think.
Okay. Either way, I'm excited. You seem to be excited. And all systems are a go. We're about, 3 weeks away from game one, give or take.
What is it, November 7th or November 11th?
November 10th against Gardner-Webb is the opener, right?
Must win.
Yeah. At home, you go three straight at home before you get Michigan, right? Yeah. Gardner-Webb, Cal, North Dakota State. You got to go 2-1. But could you go 3-0?
You could certainly go 3-0. I don't know what – I haven't researched Cal, but I would imagine you can beat those other two teams, and Cal has not been really that great, so I'm assuming you could probably beat them as well at home. So, 3-0 is on the table.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Gardner-Webb dub, Cal possibly dub, North Dakota State dub, Michigan at your place, right?
Yep.
Okay. If they somehow beat Michigan, then they got Whittier next week, the week after. Then they got that home game against UCLA. Freddie's getting his jersey retired that day. The Mac's going to be rocking, Michael. They're going to be 5-0. This could be the rebirth of the rebirth for the Rebels.
Well, they've got the three home games, then they've got Michigan, and then they've got a second game at T-Mobile in that four-team bracket. So it's Michigan, and then it's like Arizona or Wichita State. So that would be five games. Whittier would be six. And then UCLA. Yeah, I mean, if they've got a chance where if they get off to a nice start, 3-0, give Michigan a good game, trounce Whittier, that – I'm excited to see what the Thomas and Mack Center looks like against UCLA in that game. That should be a very big game. Like, that's a team that's going to be top five. They're coming off a national championship game.
Yeah, so the Michigan game is on ESPN2, right?
Is it?
It is. I'm looking at it right here.
Okay.
And I think the San Diego State game, New Year's Day, is on CBS, the real CBS, Channel 8. They got a chance with their style of play to start getting, you know, back in the public eye. Before we shift quickly over to football, Mike, recruiting-wise, they got a prospect that committed from the last time we did a show. I think he is, 88th overall, give or take?
Yeah, Kyron Lindsey, sort of a swingman, perimeter forward kind of guy, from what I can tell. I haven't taking a deep dive into his video or highlights yet, but it looks like a pretty good score for the coaching staff. You know, we've talked about, you know, they brought in nine transfers, and we know, I think we can say with certainty that this is going to be a transfer centric program going forward. I think that's how they want to build their roster year to year, with transfers and guys who are ready to play college. So when they go after a high school prospect, I think it tells you that they really like them, and it's going to be a highly rated guy that they think can come in and help right away. Sort of a game changing guy. They're not just going to fill up spots with high school players, which is something that I do think TJ Otzelberger made some mistakes with. You know, he had scholarships and he took a lot of high school players that just were not that good. You know, they didn't have a lot of potential. They were just sort of roster filler. I don't think you're going to see Kruger do that with his philosophy. So it's going to be guys like this, Kyron Lindsey. When they get a recruit, it's probably someone you can be excited about, top 100. Guy who could be a high scorer. So yeah, that's big news and a positive development. So they got their guy. We know that they can recruit at the high school level now. We know they can land guys from the transfer portal. That's good. Be excited about that.
What's the Milos Eugene watch thing? Michael, is that you or me?
That's you.
I got to apologize. I was on the 24/7 sports website trying to find out what the Milos Eugene crystal ball was projection. I couldn't find it. So I'll ask you, is he in play for UNLV? I know he's in local kid out of Desert Pines, playing at Dream City Christian as a senior. UNLV, Oklahoma, Utah, part of the Final Four.
I know that UNLV wants him. That's another guy that they've targeted. Like we just said, if it's a high school guy, they're going after big time. That means they really, really like him. And they really like Uzen a lot. I don't know from his perspective. I've tried to get in touch with him throughout his recruiting process. He hasn't really been open to that. So I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know where he's coming from or what he's basing his decision on. But I know that from the UNLV side, they really want him. So if they could land him, that gives them another good piece from that 2022 class.
That'd be a great piece, Mike.
It would be. I mean, I think they want to play with a true point guard. And besides Jordan McCabe, they really don't have one on the roster. So this would be a guy going forward. You'd have someone, you know, long-term who you could sort of set at that position. And like, that's your one at the start of the year. So I think that, you know, it makes a lot of sense for why UNLV would like him. He can handle the ball. He can run the offense. He's a pure point guard who can also score and shoot. Is definitely would be a big get.
He's a local kid, and UNLV should do a better job of recruiting local players in every sport, in my opinion.
Every sport?
Every sport, including football. So, Mike, football, briefly before we go, they're on a bye week this week. You were at their game on Saturday in San Antonio, let one get away, kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit. I will say their last few games, Arizona State, Texas, San Antonio, have been improved. So they're trending in the right direction. I believe after the Arizona State game, you projected that they might not go winless. So they're getting better.
Yeah. I think you can see improvement, if not from week to week, then at least from the beginning of the season to now, which is something that wasn't happening last year. Last year, they started out, you know, 0 out of 10, and they finished the year 0 out of 10. And I think this year you're seeing some improvement. Some weeks the offense looks a little better. Some weeks the defense plays a little better. And they're sort of rounding into some kind of shape. I do think they will get a game at some point. They will win one of these games. It's just a lot of things have to go right for them to win a game. You know, they've got to get the offense has to show up on this and the defense has to show up on the same game. They've got to get a quarterback to play an entire game. They haven't had any QBs go wire to wire yet this year. It's always they're playing 2 and 3 quarterbacks per game. It's hard to win that way. So a lot of things have to go right. But we've seen them play football that's good enough to win in some stretches for a quarter or for 2 quarters or for 3 quarters. Like we've seen them play football that if they could put it all together for an entire game is good enough to win. It's just a question of, can they do that this year? I do think the bye week is coming at probably a very fortunate time for them based on what happened against UTSA and San Antonio. That's a painful, painful loss. And we saw some, you know, Arroyo was not happy at all. I don't think the players probably didn't respond very well to losing that game in the fashion they did. So a bye week gives everyone a chance to simmer down, reassess things, cool off. They are starving for a win. So it sort of gives you a chance to just take a step back, not be so frenzied, regroup. And then you've got 7 more weeks to try and get that win.
Yeah. It's a shame that we're trying to salvage to get one win, but they are getting better. Unfortunately, I think if Doug Brumfield is the quarterback for the entire Eastern Washington game, they probably get a win.
Yes. And
if he's healthy on Saturday, we're probably looking at 2-2.
Against UTSA, I thought that Cameron Friel played a good game. I mean, he threw one egregious interception on it was like a 3rd-and-20 play where he threw a 7-yard pass that got picked off. It's like, there's no need to throw that ball on 3rd-and-20. And that cost them, I think, I believe UTSA went the other way and scored on that next drive. But other than that, you know, he threw for 300 yards. He got some chunk plays with his arm. He seemed to deliver the ball decisively. He still took a lot of sacks. He gets sacked a lot. He does not really read the pressure. But I didn't think quarterback was the reason they lost that game. I don't know if Doug Brumfield could have played better. I thought Cameron Friel did everything you could ask of him. It was more about just mistakes. They made too many mistakes. They're offsides multiple times. They got one of their starting offensive linemen ejected from the game. And then you get sacked on the final play. Just a lot of mistakes that I don't know if you could hang that one on quarterback play. Week one, definitely. San Antonio, I think, is probably more of just shot yourselves in the foot. And that's why everyone was so frustrated afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of reminds me, not to swing this into my personal life, but the boys U10 Henderson Crush, we lost the game on Saturday where
– Soccer?
Soccer. We were in their side of the field, Mike, 95% of the game. We end up losing 3-2. We were down 1-0 10 seconds into the game. My goalie didn't realize the game had started and the other team scored. And then again, we peppered them with 1,000 shots. None of them went in. So I know how the Rebels feel, Mike. I know how the Rebels feel. But we'll do a little more on football moving forward. But with all the excitement in basketball, getting ready for a new season, thought we would focus in on the Rebels. Thanks to everybody for listening to us. Mike, we need to do this more often because I ran into a guy the other day that is fiending for more UNLV analysis, and we need to deliver. So we'll make it happen, brother. But for Mike, I'm Ray, and we'll talk to everybody soon.